to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked man, says the Lord, but rather in his conversion, that he may live. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued to ask him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at them." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground, and in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Three short things I want to say about these readings. The first is this. Though these two men from the prophecy of Daniel may be the original dirty old men, they are not alone. And this is, in some ways, an important admonition to all of us that are older. I once knew a nun who was sent away to rehab at 84 years old, not because she'd become an alcoholic, but because she had become a gambler. Now, how did this happen? Well, she had taught for many years in a girls' school, and then was the principal, the president of the girls' school. And then, as happens in places like this, when you retire, they often kick you up into the development, the fundraising office, to help raise money, because you've got relationships with these people that you've built for 40 years. But where do rich alumni of elite girls' schools go? Well, wherever the girls' school is not, that's where. So she had to travel a lot to go raise this money, and they would put her up in hotels, many of which were adjacent to casinos. She swore she had not gambled a day of her life until she was 79, and by the time she was sent to rehab, she'd spent more than $1 million. You're never too old. Second thing I want to say about these readings is more of a footnote, but a worthwhile one. This passage from Daniel is the first instance that we have in world literature of what today we would call detective fiction or mysteries. This is the very first instance that we have of a crime and a detective who has to solve it. The detective, of course, the Sherlock Holmes in the story, is the young Daniel. And I think that is important. In the 19th and 20th centuries, detective fiction became a popular pastime for especially devout Christians. So G.K. Chesterton, whose cause for sainthood is going now, who wrote the Father Brown Mysteries, which of course are on PBS and such now. He, of course, his real contribution to the history of the world is his writings on the faith. Father Knox, who wrote the Psalter, we still use, same thing. There's something deeply Christian about fiction which forces us to use our reason and our knowledge of human nature to solve a mystery. Why? Because the faith is itself a great mystery, one which demands reason, but which reason will never exhaust. Finally, this gospel, which we heard yesterday too, the story of the woman taken in adultery. The church fathers were intrigued, probably since the moment he did it, people were intrigued by what the Lord was writing in the sand. And the consensus of the fathers is that he was writing either the names of the elders in the crowd or their sins. I think that's especially telling, not as a way of simply sticking it to the people that have put Jesus in a bad spot, but because it's not only she whose sins are wiped away, but theirs as well. They were written in sand, not in stone. When I was assigned at Indiana U, the Dalai Lama came to visit the university, and the only place on campus large enough to host him was the Catholic Student Center. So the Dalai Lama came for a visit. And the Buddhists had this practice of the mandala, these intricate designs, right? You've seen them like on rugs and stuff. But the originals, right, they're all done in sand. They're sand art, done on the ground, deeply intricate, each grain of sand placed in a precise way to make this beautiful sort of abstract mosaic, something kind of like the windows here, except cooler. And as soon as the event which the art piece is installed for is over, swept away, beauty fades, art passes. The transcendent, the Lord, is what remains.